Dan Riccio, Randeep Janna, joined now by the Athletic Columbus, Aaron Portsline. Aaron, thanks for doing this. Is Brad Marchand well-liked in Columbus right now? I would say not.
You would be correct. he sort of got a little bit of a breather last night on Charlie McAvoy's hit on Josh Anderson. But, yeah, I think my colleague Joe McDonald wrote a great piece. He went down and hung out by the penalty box when Marchand was in there and just sort of listened and took note of the vitriol being hurled his way. So, yeah, he's not a beloved figure here for sure.
Yeah, it has definitely felt that way, and people here in Vancouver still will not forget all that happened in 2011 and since then. The Charlie McAvoy hit, it's pretty obvious. We look at it now, and yeah, it felt like he should have received a major, probably a match penalty, and been kicked out of the game. What was your response, and is there something that the league can do to maybe look at these types of plays moving forward?
Well, I think the first thing needs to be said is that there was immediate outrage that it wasn't a five-minute major, and the officials should be credited for this much. Like, they knew the rule book and knew that it couldn't be. So they didn't mess that part up. I think you could say that Kelly Sutherland, the referee, could have given that a match penalty. I thought he should have. I thought it was clearly an intent to do more than just check the player. It was certainly a blindside hit. And, you know, what's going to happen now is going to benefit the Carolina Hurricanes. It's not going to have any benefit to the Blue Jackets, who incurred the loss. Let me also say this. Josh Anderson came back to start the third period, which shocked me. The Blue Jackets gave up two more goals and lost 3-0. So as much as that could have maybe changed the face of that game at the time, it's hard for me to look at that game and think that it was taken from them.
Well, even after the game, John Tortorella and Nick Foligno as well, they didn't really want to divulge too much. They seemed like they wanted to change the channel pretty quick there. Were you surprised by that? Because they did have a reason to be outraged. At that point, it's 1-0, and if it was called correctly, that game could change and be Columbus's game, and they could have won that game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, you know, John Tortorella, and this may sound funny to some listening, he goes out of his way to not question the officials. He goes out of his way to not step into that stuff. In fact, he gets angry when you ask him about it. He feels like he wants this organization to take the high road on that stuff. He has complained, of course, for years about the team not far from here, the Pittsburgh Penguins, about how much they complain about officiating. He does not want his team to be that. I know he didn't like the hit. Nobody likes hits like that. I don't think anybody other than a Boston resident could find a way to justify a hit like that. And it doesn't have to be that one's wrong and Dean Kukan's hit on David Backes is right. It's not. That one was wrong too. I thought it was suspendable as well. I'll be interested to see what McAvoy gets. But I think they have learned, or they try to not get too carried away with something like that when what's done is done.
Aaron Portsline, our guest. So, I mean, it's hard not to already start looking at the summer and what a big job Jarmo Kekäläinen has to do. I guess first is the question, will Jarmo Kekäläinen have the opportunity to continue his job with Columbus?
Yeah, I see no sign that he is in trouble. Let's be honest, these guys in these front offices anymore, this is not a GM acting alone. This is a GM who had the full support of John Davidson, president of hockey operations, people above him. He was the guy whose name is on it, certainly. This was a hockey operations decision from the entire organization. I don't see, and they may be losing John Davidson to the Rangers, not firing him, but he might be replacing Glenn Sather. But I don't think Jarmo goes with him, because I think Jim Gordon keeps the job there. But I see no sign that Jarmo is in any trouble here in Columbus, nor do I think he should be.
Well, there's a number of players that certainly have question marks around them. We'll start with Artemi Panarin, of course. There's not many players like him in the league. There were hints that he's, you know, eyeing Florida or the Rangers or whatever it may be. At this point, is he a player that they've lost for sure, you think?
Well, I've learned to never say Never. I don't think there's much chance of either he or Bobrovsky staying, to be honest with you. I think their mind has been made up. I think the best argument Columbus could have made would have been a long playoff run and let them be the rock stars that they want to be, although there's nothing they can do to build an ocean near here. I suppose if you wait long enough for global warming, right? there's nothing you can do to make Columbus New York City. And so if that's what those guys want, and the words of Jarmo Kekäläinen last night, good luck, because they're not going to beg or grovel. They've tried to keep both of those guys desperately, but I think the time for that may have already passed.
Now, Matt Duchene, it feels as though, from where I sit, that it's been a pretty good stay for him in Columbus so far. Do you think there's mutual interest to make this relationship continue there?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. I think Matt Duchene enjoyed his time in Columbus far more than he expected to. I don't know that you put Columbus near the top of any list for him UFA-wise, but I think it's on the list. And I don't think when he came to Columbus February 22nd that he expected it to be. This is a team that sort of checks all the boxes for him. There's lots of guys on this team that are in a similar familial state that he is, where they're married with young kids. He is a man of faith. He's a man of great passion for the game. I think the other thing that's really important to him is that he be the guy or one of the guys, not in a secondary role. And that certainly is going to be the case, especially if Panarin leaves. He's going to be the number one center here. He's going to play in every position, in every situation, sorry. He's going to have the puck on his stick a lot with high expectations. So I think they're now in the discussion. I don't think they were when he first got traded here. I don't think it's likely necessarily, but I think Columbus is a consideration for sure.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Aaron Portsline of The Athletic chatting Columbus Blue Jackets. And Aaron, if you look at this team right now, there's a lot of UFAs that are coming off the books. There's no question about that. But they do have a solid base, especially when you have a player like Seth Jones. Is this team ready for a bit of a reset? I wouldn't say a rebuild, but are they ready for a bit of a reset maybe and to take a step back for a year and then build up for the next couple of years?
Yeah, well, I think they'll be aggressive in free agency and aggressive with trades this summer to keep themselves at least where they're at in terms of talent right now. I don't know if that's possible or not. They'll probably have to ply the free agent market for a goaltender. They love the potential of Elvis Merzlikins, who has come over and is going to be on this team next year. Not sure in what capacity. He's got a sort of a rock star aura about him. He wants to be the guy. I don't know if they think he's ready yet, but it could come to that. I look at a player like Alexander Texier. I look at Oliver Bjorkstrand, who emerged this year. Cam Atkinson had 41 goals. Pierre-Luc Dubois is an emerging talent down the middle. If Duchene leaves, I think they're going to be right back where they were before he got here, where they're going to need center help. Alexander Wennberg has sort of disappeared on them. But I don't think they would be ready to say that next year is going to be a step back. I do think there is a feeling with many that it's time to move on from the Sergei Bobrovsky experience. And he's been here for quite a while. I think he's ready to move on. I think, frankly, some people within the organization are ready to move on as well. So maybe a change, they're going to miss him, but maybe a change in net could be beneficial.
Aaron Portsline, our guest, it's hard to quantify because it doesn't end in a championship. But from your perspective on the fan base, was this whole run worth it? The all in at the deadline and finding themselves here in the second round and losing out to a really good Boston team. Do you think in the fans will look back on this and say it was worth it?
I do, yeah. I think the fans are like players. They want their GM to go for it every year.
Yeah.
I think they were all about this. For them to savor that first round route of Tampa Bay, have a really competitive season, a series with Boston, that was a thrill that brought a lot of people back into the fold who maybe haven't been part of this thing for the last couple of years or the last number of years. It opened the fan base up to some people that hadn't really given the Blue Jackets the time of day. You know, I think the real pain of this is going to come in a couple years where, you know, you notice it a few years down the road if you don't have first-round draft picks to pan out. So it's easy to – I almost feel like Yarmo – I wouldn't say maxed out his credit card, but he used his credit card. And now this summer is the time where the bills come due. So I think fan bases will look back on this and say, yes, great move. Do it again next year. But I also think there'll be some heat if the pipeline runs dry and there's no help coming from the minor league.
Sportsnet 650.